This is Central Time. Now, as American politics have become more polarized, our political language seems to be getting more contentious and less productive. A group out of Utah is looking to improve that with the hope that adding more civility to our political conversations can help us feel less divided. They created a scale called the Dignity Index that they use to evaluate speeches, debates, interviews, and social media posts on how divisive the language is. The higher the number, the more dignity the words give to everyone involved. The lower the number, the more it attacks the other side. This started in Utah. Now the Dignity Index is going nationwide in time for the 2024 election season. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Does it feel to you like our political speech is getting more divisive? And whether that's, you know, a politician talking, a campaign ad, or conversation in person with family, friends, on social media, are there ways you think we can make things better? Do you have questions about how to measure how contentious, how contemptuous our political language is? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Tammy Pfeiffer is co-creator of the Dignity Index. She's the chief of staff and vice president of external affairs for the Unite Initiative. Tammy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. And I love the way that you described and set up the Dignity Index. Perfect.
Now, before we dig into the Dignity Index, I'm wondering what got you involved in looking around, seeing a problem with contentious political language and wanting to do something about it?
So right before I came to Unite, I worked for 7 years in the Utah governor's office. I was Governor Gary Herbert's education policy advisor. And before that, I held elected office 8 years at the local level and 4 years at the state level on the State Board of Education. And as you well know, education has been rife with growing contempt and division over the last few years. And the last year I was in the governor's office was 2020. So enter COVID, schools closing down, mask mandates, eventually the vaccination discussions. And I just saw what was happening and saw that it was affecting my own family personally, my work, my family, and I thought there's got to be a better way than this. And I had connected with Tim Shriver, my colleague, who is the chair of Special Olympics, who also has spent years teaching about social and emotional learning skills, the skills that we teach students in school, such as being able to disagree without being disagreeable, working with diverse viewpoints and be able to take someone else's perspective. We're teaching these skills in school. And I heard Tim say, you know, we should apply that to politics. And I thought, I have just found my mission for the remaining years of my career, and jumped in with both feet. And now I'm working with Tim and another colleague, Tom Rochert, who is a lead architect of the Dignity Index. And we developed the Dignity Index.
All right. Now let's dig into the index itself. Give us a sense of what kind of things you are measuring with the Dignity Index and how you score it.
Great. The index is designed to measure words that are spoken in moments of disagreement or conflict. We don't score people, although sometimes I accidentally phrase it in such a way as so-and-so got a 3 on this. We don't score people, but we score the language that people use. And we look at the phrases and the words that are used to determine if they indicate contempt for the other party that you disagree with, or if they indicate dignity and holding that person in a higher level of consideration than we often do in politics. So the scale goes from 1 to 4. Those are the levels of contempt. The bottom one being violence, calling for violence, and, you know, looking at other people as though they were not even human. And the very top of the scale, I call this the Desmond Tutu level, is everyone is born with inherent worth. And so we treat everyone with dignity, and we reflect that in our words with other people.
And a key point here, Tammy, it seems, is, you know, you're not saying, nobody's saying, we have to agree on things. We have to come to a consensus on everything. It's more a matter of how we disagree.
Exactly. And thank you for underscoring that. A lot of the pushback we get will be from people that say, oh, you just want us to all get along, give up our values, give up our principles, and be nice and agree. Good problem solving requires disagreement, other points of view, people to come in and think differently than you do. We have to have that to have a strong democracy. So no, that is not what we're advocating. We are just saying there's a better way to disagree. There's a better way to solve problems. And it's using these principles of dignity in our discussions and not contempt for the other side.
Now, unpleasant political language has been around for as long as there's been politics, I guess. But it seems like the incentive structure these days, driven in part, I think, by social media, really rewards more inflammatory language, more contempt from the other side. If you agree with somebody and they really got a good one over on the other side, well, you're going to forward that. Maybe you'll make a little donation. How do you push back on that, what seems to me an incentive structure to behave on the low end of the dignity index?
You are absolutely right. Arthur Brooks calls it the outrage industrial complex. And there's the algorithms, everything that's designed to elevate the hateful speech and the clicks that we get and the donations that do come pouring in. And at times it feels insurmountable. I often get discouraged when I think about it, but then I remember that there's something I can do. I don't click on that media. I stop subscribing to certain podcasts or don't look at the websites. I choose to not reward that behavior with those financial incentives, or sometimes it's just people that maybe aren't making money from getting us to hate each other, although a lot of people are, but it's people that want a sense of belonging, or they have power by getting us to hate certain groups of people. So it sounds small. It sounds like a small thing, but we're trying to start a movement where if we had 1,000 people in a community and then 10,000 and 100,000 in a state, all over the country who said, I'm done being part of this cycle. I'm done being part of the contempt cycle. I'm done supporting organizations and industries that are getting us to hate each other. I'm done. So I'm unsubscribing. I'm not donating. I am not clicking. We could be a powerful force, but it's going to take some work on our behalf.
We're talking to Tammy Pfeiffer, co-creator of the Dignity Index, about her group's efforts to restore more civility to our politics, to get people to disagree more agreeably. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the Dignity Index, its goals, how it actually works? And are you frustrated yourself with what you hear from politicians and political advertising and politics on social media? Have you lost a friendship or had a family relationship go south because of contemptuous political language? Do you want to hold your own side accountable for undignified and contemptuous language? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our talk with Tammy Pfeiffer, Chief of Staff, Vice President of External Affairs for the UNITE Initiative, co-creator of the Dignity Index. That's a project that scores divisive language in politics in an effort to promote more civility in our political discussions. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions and your thoughts, maybe your solutions to our often unpleasant political language. That's 800-642-1234. Before we bring on a caller, I want to hear an example of the index at work. Here's one you've rated. It's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, till recently Republican presidential contender, a clip that he posted on social media that scored on the lower half of the Dignity Index.
The D.C. elites who facilitated this mess do not care about you, and they do not work for you. They work for themselves. They seek to accumulate power at your expense to pursue an agenda that is harmful to the American people.
This got a 3 out of 8. That's on the lower end, but not the worst case there. Can you talk about what goes into rating that statement as a 3 on the Dignity Index?
Sure. So when I train people, I have them first look at, in general, is this a contemptuous statement, or is it full of dignity? You know, and people immediately say, well, that's definitely not a dignified statement. So they say it's probably on the contempt side of the scale. A 3 is when you're saying we're the good people and they're the bad people. It's just as clear as that. We're the good people They're the bad people. It's us versus them. These people are not working for you. They're working against you. We're the good people, but they're the bad people. And so that's, in a nutshell, that's how that obtained a score of a 3.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Liz is with us in Eau Claire. Liz, hi.
Hi there. Well, I would like your speaker's opinion of just media in general, that it seems to me they spend too much of time and attention and give more free airtime to people like this DeSantis comment that was not useful for anybody. I mean, you can't just, I mean, I appreciate her not listening to podcasts and so on, but somehow I can't bring myself to cut off all news. And it seems like there aren't many that don't give too much airtime to what she would classify as undignified.
Liz, thanks a lot for the call. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the media, Tammy, because, I mean, I'm in the media, and yes, there's a temptation if there's a speech and there's one really fire-up-the-masses-type comment, we might pull that clip instead of the, you know, calm, measured policy observation, and, well, maybe I feel bad for having done that. What are your thoughts about how we in the media can tackle this?
Yeah, look, it's tough. It's around us everywhere. And it's easy to say, I'm not going to listen to the news anymore. But it's difficult then to say, but I'm going to be informed, engaged citizen, which I've spent a lifetime, you know, getting my family and my children raised in that mindset that we want to be involved. A couple of thoughts come to mind, though, that we are part of the system that rewards contempt, as you said earlier, Rob. We're part of the system. How do we pull our way out of it? I remember shortly after we finished our demonstration project on social media, this woman I don't know posted, she'd read about the Dignity Index, and she said, I just contacted an organization whose mission I support, but I don't like the way they vilify elected officials to raise money. And I wrote them and I told them, I'm no longer going to donate to your cause until you change the way you speak about people. Again, it seems like a small thing, but if a lot of people started taking these small steps, we could grow into a formidable coalition of people that said, we're done with the contempt. It's hurting our families. I'm tired of hating my in-laws or, you know, the people at work. I'm tired of feeling like I'm being made to hate these people. The other thought that that your caller brought up for me is that we are addicted in some way to contempt. There's the adrenaline rush, right? There's the buzz that we get of this self-righteous indignation of those people who are ruining the country. So there's an addictive quality, even the clickbait, you know, they call it bait for a reason. And it's a big task for us to find ourselves up against these systems that are powerful. They're backed with money. But I'm telling you, there's power in individual voices, in communities, in families, in organizations. Business organizations are coming to us. There's power when we link arms with each other and say, enough is enough, I'm not doing this anymore. And the most powerful thing we found so far with the Dignity Index is when people turn the scale on themselves and say, not only, you know, am I not going to subscribe to this podcast forever, but I'm going to stop calling people my enemies. I'm going to stop saying that those Republicans or those Democrats are ruining the country, because that's not helping. It's not true, and it's not helping. I'm going to cease being part of the problem, and I'm going to start being part of the solution.
Thanks for that call, Liz. I want to check out another clip that you rated at the Dignity Index. This is Democratic Congressional Representative Dean Phillips challenging Joe Biden in the Democratic presidential primary. Here he is during an interview on CNN last month.
I went to a Donald Trump rally a couple nights ago. Never been to one. I had an event across the street. I saw the line of people waiting in the cold for hours. And I thought, what the heck? You know, I'm going to be a leader who actually invites people, doesn't condemn them. Met probably 50 Trump people waiting in line. Every single one of them, thoughtful, hospitable, friendly. All of them so frustrated that they feel nobody's listening to them but Donald Trump.
So this was scored a 6 out of 8 in the Dignity Index. Can you interpret that for us?
Yeah, so on the Dignity Index, you can go to our website, dignityindex.us, and we have the card that we use, the kind of shorthand. And a six is we always talk to the other side. We're searching for these values and interests that we share. A real easy shorthand that I teach in presentations is when you're speaking with dignity, you're saying, I see myself in you. When you're speaking with contempt, you're saying, I see myself above you. And look at those last two statements. One clearly says, I see myself above you. You're the bad people. I'm the good people. And this one is, hey, you know, they're people just like me. They're thoughtful, hospitable, friendly. I see myself in you. And so when you find yourself going one direction or the other, better than other people, or that you see yourself in other people, that's when you know you're swinging from contempt up to dignity.
In just our last minute, Tammy, as you talk about the Dignity Index, are you getting a sense that there's a hunger for this kind of thing and a frustration with the contempt in our political language?
People are starving for this. They are starving for a different way. You look at every poll that has come out in the last 6 months to 16 months, people are tired of politics as usual. They're tired of how it makes them feel. They're tired of how it's dividing their family, their friendships. And the big thing for me as a former elected official is we cannot solve problems. We can't pass a budget. We can't elect a speaker. We cannot solve the problems, the biggest problems facing our country, because we have contempt and we need to move out of that mode so that we can make progress.
Tammy, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Tammy Pfeiffer is the Chief of Staff and Vice President of External Affairs for the UNITE Initiative. She was with us today to share the Dignity Index. That's a project she co-created to help restore civility in political discourse. Started in Utah, now going nationwide in this presidential election year, a way to evaluate a political language from contempt to dignity. We'll get a link to that up at wpr.org/centraltime. Coming up tomorrow here on Central Time, athletes at one U.S. college are employees and able to unionize, according to a new court ruling. That's just one school, but it could have big impacts on college sports nationwide. We'll check out the ruling and what it could mean if it goes live in other parts of the country. And local news has taken a lot of big hits in recent years, especially when it comes to newspapers in smaller communities. A state lawmaker joins the show to make the case for some public funding for local news, and we'll check out the state of local news as well. That and more coming up tomorrow here on Central Time.